Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word. And we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So hope you've had an awesome week. Today I want to teach a little bit about one of my favorite passages. And I'll explain, well, there's many reasons why it's one of my favorite passages, but I'll explain something that I really like about it that you may not be aware of in terms of Jewish tradition and doing readings and worship and so forth. And if you've ever been to a Messianic synagogue, Messianic Jews are Jews who believe in Jesus, Yeshua, as the Messiah. And if you've never been to a Messianic synagogue, I strongly urge you to go. You can Google location of Messianic synagogues and probably find one near where you live. But there's a very strong tradition of how the readings are done in the synagogue. And today I'm going to go to Luke chapter 4, so I'll give you a second to flip there. We're going to start at verse 16. And the reason I bring up all the stuff about the synagogue is you may or may not be aware that the synagogues have a cycle of readings that go through the whole year. And you're probably aware of that, and that's true of Messianic synagogues. In other words, a congregation that believes that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah, and also traditional synagogues where they do not believe that and are essentially still waiting for the Messiah. But there is a cycle of readings, the first one of which is from Torah, the first five books, the books of Moses, and that is called a parasha. And over the course of 1 year, you go through the whole Torah, though some of the portions are very long, but then over the course of a year, you go through the whole Torah. Then this is followed by a reading from one of the prophets called the Haftarah reading, and we'll get into the details of that some other time. But the reason I want you to understand that is that in this passage, which you know, I'm sure already, occurs at the synagogue in Nazareth, Jesus, Yeshua, does not just pick a random reading that he feels like reading, nor was that reading assigned to him in a random way, but as we're going to see, in a very purposeful way, because he was going to do a very powerful teaching from it. And when a person does a reading, they're usually selected ahead of time, either the week before or during that week, probably not the same morning as the Sabbath, of that Sabbath, but usually the week before. And when the person does the reading, they do a short commentary on the reading, which is called a drash. And it's a personal commentary of, this is what I feel that this reading means, and this is why I think that it's important in my life and your life. And in most synagogues, it's a matter of a couple of minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, and the person does the drash. So this reading, this passage in Luke chapter 4, is set immediately after Jesus returns to Nazareth from the wilderness, where he has been tempted by Satan, has fought each temptation with a verse from Deuteronomy, quotes from Torah, three verses that disarm Satan, and he leaves. And then after this whole 40-day ordeal in the wilderness, Jesus goes back to Nazareth. And so this is where it's set. So sometime before this day, the leader of the synagogue, we generally consider the leader of the synagogue to be a rabbi. That was not the case here, because a rabbi was anyone who was a teacher. Jesus himself was a rabbi. There was a leader of the synagogue, generally called the leader of the synagogue. And I forgot he had a Hebrew term. Escapes me now what it was. And also a Greek term. But that leader of the synagogue would have approached him, would have approached Jesus the week before, a few days before, and said, I'd like you to read the Haftorah reading on Shabbat. And Jesus would have said, sure, I want to, I'd be happy to. And then, of course, he would know that after the reading, he would do this short commentary that I mentioned. So Luke describes this for us, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went up to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now we're going to stop there for a couple of minutes and go over this. So here he is. He's at the synagogue, which is his custom. Dr. Luke points out this is his custom. Why is it his custom? Because it is the law of God that on Shabbat you are to worship. You are to gather. You are to worship. Jesus kept the law perfectly, or else he could not be the Messiah. He obviously could not be in rebellion to God's law and be the perfect sinless sacrifice. And so, of course, he went to the synagogue on the Shabbat. And so Luke says it was his custom. So he was always there. He didn't miss, so to speak. So he returns from the wilderness, from this temptation that he had. And it says before this that people in the synagogues of Galilee, people in the area, knew about him. And they were amazed by him. And they praised him because he taught with authority. And we know this because in several places in the scripture, people are amazed at how he teaches with authority. That he doesn't teach with the authority like the Pharisees and the scribes had. He teaches with a powerful authority because he is the anointed one. He is teaching through the power of God, obviously, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he wasn't there. He wasn't called by some committee of men, some committee of religious leaders, to go to these different places to teach. Clearly, this was part of his mission, and the mission was from God. The plan of salvation had been made by God, not by a group of religious leaders. And guess what? In the 21st century of the Christian era, the plan of salvation is made by God, not by some group of religious leaders who gets together and says, well, no, I think it should be this, and well, no, I think it's actually that, and I think the gospel is actually this and that and the other thing, and if we protect the environment, that would be great, and if we're nice and tolerate everything, that would be nice, and if we never hurt anybody's feelings, that would be great. Then we really got the gospel down. Well, the gospel does not change based on anybody's interpretation. And so he did not go to synagogues preaching in order to have some group of religious men say, good job, we really like this young rabbi. He really knows what he's talking about. No, he comes in power to preach this word. So he begins his ministry. This is really, you might say, the beginning of his earthly ministry. He's been in the Jordan to be baptized by John. He's gone immediately into the wilderness, it tells us. And then he comes back to Nazareth, which is this backwater town in the Galilee. I don't know what the population was then. It's a fairly good-sized city now. But he went to the synagogue because, of course, the temple is in Jerusalem, 100 miles away, more or less. And so by foot or by donkey or by wagon with a horse, if you were rich enough to have a horse, you couldn't just go to the temple to worship on Shabbat and then drive back. You went to synagogues that were scattered. There were only 7 in all of the Galilee during this time. But he went to the synagogue. This was not ceremonial worship. This was not sacrifices. This was prayer time, worship time, readings, discussion of the readings. And this is what the Shabbat was if you were anywhere but the temple. Because the rituals, the sacrifices could only be done in the temple in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. It's very clear and very important that we all understand this, that the ritualistic sacrifices, the ritualistic worship was only done at the temple. So here he is at a synagogue. These were places of public worship. People went to hear the word, to hear the word being taught, to debate the word, to sing some songs, to do some what we would call fellowship and communal worship. And he's chosen as one of the readers for that week. He had just recently come back. People there liked him. People were happy to see him back. They were probably happy when they found out that he was going to do a reading and that he was going to make some commentary about that reading. They probably were very excited. There was no opposition to him yet. He hadn't said anything that would have caused any opposition yet. They knew about a lot of itinerant preachers and teachers, but him, they knew him personally. He grew up there. Luke tells us that's where he was brought up. And we know that, of course, from numerous places in the scripture that he was brought up. He was known as Jesus of Nazareth. He wasn't known as Jesus, son of Joseph, although that would have been legally probably what he would have been called. But he's known as Jesus of Nazareth. And so his family lived there. His extended family lived there. All his friends, all his neighbors knew him. So he followed the law. He went to the synagogue on the Shabbat. He would have never thought about not going to the synagogue on Shabbat. He would have never said, I don't feel like going today. You guys go if you want to. I'm not going. He had gone there for many years. This is his 30th year. He had gone there for the other 29 years as a private person. And it's the Sabbath, the Shabbat. It's a solemn assembly. Every week has a holy day in it, which is the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the holy day. The seventh day is set aside, set apart from all the other days. It's the holy day. It's a memorial of the creation. And so everyone measures their, adherence to the law, to their Judaism, so to speak, by whether they keep the Sabbath or not. If you are a faithful Jew, you keep the Sabbath. If you don't keep the Sabbath, you are not a faithful Jew, no matter what else you do. And in the book of Exodus, it basically says the Sabbath, I think it's chapter 33, that there's a the Sabbath is the connection between God and the people. It's my covenant with the children of Israel. You must keep the Sabbath. Even if you don't do anything else, you must keep the Sabbath. So it's a very important day. This is the only time in the scripture, the only place in the scripture where Jesus is mentioned as being a reader at the synagogue. And this is a tradition that still goes on to today. It still goes on to today. So that particular Sabbath, that particular week, the reading was obviously from the prophet Isaiah. We would know it today as chapter 61. They didn't have chapters in those days. They didn't have chapters until, I think, the early Middle Ages. But the second reading, the Haftarah reading, that week was Isaiah, what we would call chapter 61. So he would be in the front on a raised platform. There would be a bema there, which is a table where the scrolls are unrolled. So the Torah is always read from a scroll. The Torah scrolls you're probably familiar with are very decorative and beautiful. And in those days, in the days that we're talking about here, everything would have been in scrolls. There were no books. There were no bound books. And so until the printing press came, you didn't have books like we have. So Isaiah, being a major prophet, has his own scroll. And we know he is, in our terminology, Isaiah has 66 chapters. So he is a major prophet, has his own scroll. And he opens the scroll of Isaiah, standing at this bema. And you stand to read the word because it's a sign of respect for the word of God. You don't sit and read it. You don't kneel and read it. You stand to read it. And most of the time, maybe all of the time, you don't touch the paper, the parchment, whatever they made paper out of, with your bare hand. You use a little tool called a yad, which is the Hebrew word for hand, that you follow along with, but you don't touch it with your hand because the word of God is sacred and living and breathing, and your hand is dirty and sinful. So you don't touch it with your hand. And so he opens the scroll of Isaiah. The place would have been marked because this was the reading. And of course, he opens all the scrolls. Jesus opens all the books of the Bible, all the books of the Old Testament, because they're all about him. You know, in the book of Revelation, it tells us that he's worthy to open the scrolls. Well, he's worthy to open all the scrolls. He says of himself that all the scriptures testify of him. He said, all the scriptures testify of me. He doesn't say some of them. He doesn't say a little bit in this one, a little bit in that one. This chapter, yes. Man, these chapters, not so much. He says, no, it's all about me. So he opens all the books, and he's worthy to open all the books. He opens all the books of the Old Testament. He opens all the books of the New Testament, for that matter. But that particular morning in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, as we would call them in our numbering, it's a messianic prophecy. And it's so interesting that on that particular morning, the Messiah, capital T, capital M, Mashiach, the Messiah, Christos, the Christ, would open to a passage that is about the Messiah, the Christ, to proclaim the reading. Now, these people had heard this before, because over a cycle of a few years, I can't remember if it's 3 years or 5 years now offhand, over a period of years, all of the prophets are read in the synagogue. All of the prophets are read. And so I don't remember exactly what the timing is, but everybody who was there had heard this reading at least several times during their life. So here he is. He is the anointed one. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. So he's qualified for his work. He's qualified for what he has to do. Not like the prophets, like Isaiah, who had the Spirit on them for a limited time, for the function of writing his prophecies, for the function of writing the scroll of Isaiah. But he is there as the anointed one, the sent one, who comes from before creation to be there at that moment to read a messianic prophecy. And what was the mission that Isaiah talks about that Messiah is going to do? He's going to take the gospel to the poor. The gospel is good news. He's going to take good news to the poor. Now, we have to keep something else in mind about this, because we, especially in the Western world, and especially in America, we think that poor means they don't have much money. We think like, well, they have some menial job. They're living from check to check. Sometimes they don't have enough money to pay their bills. They buy inexpensive food. They don't have any reserve, any resources they could call on. And they live in a rundown apartment somewhere, a rundown house somewhere. Well, Isaiah and subsequently Jesus himself are not talking about necessarily economic poverty. They're also talking about the poor in spirit. They're also talking about people who are out of the mainstream of the things of God, the laws of God, the worship of God. People aren't, as we would say, kind of tuned in to what they should be doing. And then there's also another group of people that are looked down on by the authorities, because the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, all these people that we can talk for hours about, always looked down on how everybody else worshiped, how everybody else read, how everybody else taught, how everybody else listened to messages. So they were kind of beaten down by Pharisees as well. And then there were people that realized that they were sinners, realized that their hearts had been broken by things they had done, by life experiences they had had, realized that they couldn't keep God's law, realized that they weren't worthy and deserving of what God had done for them. So these people are all poor in spirit over a variety of different ways, not just economic poverty. And then Isaiah goes into what is he, and we say he because Isaiah is talking about Messiah is going to do this. What is he preaching? The gospel is a proclamation of liberty. It's freedom. It's freedom from sin. It's freedom from the bondage to the law. People are slaves to sin. That includes me, and it includes all of us that are listening to this. All of us that are thinking about this, we're all slaves to sin. We have bondage. This is removed by the gospel. This is removed by what Jesus does on the cross. And it's a change of kingdoms. We're in a change of kingdoms. We go from the kingdom of the world to his kingdom. And the way this plan of salvation is set up, as I'm sure you know, God gets the glory for our salvation, since we don't save ourselves. And since he did the work of salvation, he gets the glory for our salvation. And Isaiah says, this is the proclamation of liberty. It's a jubilee year. Every 50th year was a jubilee year. The Messiah is going to bring the jubilee. Debts are forgiven. Slaves are set free. Everything starts clean. Everything starts new. And this is part of the messianic prophecy that Jesus himself, who is the Messiah, gets to read that morning. Now, the music's already playing, the time's already gone, so I'm afraid there's going to be a part two to this. I never finish on time anyway. So join us again next week where we're going to finish this lesson from Luke chapter 4. Come back and listen next week. Have a great week.